from the fields of air. And in my cage I sit and sing to him who placed me there. Well pleased a prisoner to pay, because my God it pleases me.
The Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power!
And power!
For
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 Timothy, and we're actually starting in chapter 6. We're getting to the very end of this book, and if you haven't joined us on our live broadcast or podcast, you can actually go and find all of these recordings, the whole book of Timothy, on redemptionandpower.com, or you can visit us on iTunes, where you can listen to all the catalogs of all the different podcasts at your disposal on your mobile device. You can also download the app, both for iPhone or Android, for your convenience to be able to have access to all of our teachings weekly. And we also post them up on our Facebook page. So we invite you to visit us there as well and send us your prayer requests, any testimonies of what the Lord is doing. You can write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com, or you can also send us a message on Facebook. You can also contact us at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done and continue to do through this wonderful ministry, Lord. Tonight, we pray for your people, Lord, for you, Father, to touch them, Father, change them, transform them, and make them into your likeness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power.
Gain all of you.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in 1 Timothy, and last week we actually finished chapter 5. And just to do a quick recap of some of the things we saw, we actually had seen the last three verses of 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we saw how we spoke about advocacy of medicine. There's nothing wrong with taking medicine if you have an ailment. So long as we understand and remember that our dependence is upon God. It's not upon doctors. It's not upon anybody else in society. It is upon God. God is the one that keeps us healthy. God is the one that strengthens us. He is our hope. He is the one that we go to. We also saw how there's sins in the life of people. There's some that are evident, and there's some that will come afterwards. And that also goes in line with what Paul was telling Timothy about, not laying hands on anybody suddenly, because it may appear to be a certain way, but maybe there's something in that individual that yet hasn't come out. So it's very important that we be careful in who we ordain into ministry without first allowing them to be tested. And we see that the book of 1 Timothy is a very important book, especially for the times that we're living in. We're seeing that not only is there much apostasy in which this book speaks about in the latter days, that many will fall away and many deceptions would enter into the church. But we also see there's also a lot of traditions that have come in to churches and a lot of things that are not even biblical. And in this book, we see specific instructions that are given to young Timothy as to how a church should look like, because the church belongs to Jesus Christ. It doesn't belong to a man. It's not a corporation. It belongs to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that he gave his life for the church. He shed his blood for the church so that he may present it to himself, holy and acceptable without spot or wrinkle. It is the church of Jesus Christ. And that's very important for us to understand. And it's also a book that is written to a young minister who's going to minister in a very dark place, in a place full of idolatry, which the Bible shows us that idolatry is a worship of devils. And this is, in fact, the area where this young man was going to minister. He was going to minister to a place that was filled with demonic oppression. And we read that Paul had told him to stir up the gift that was given to him to go and be a minister of God. So tonight we continue in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we start with verse 1, reading from the New King James. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. So the first verse is an instruction to those who are part of the church, to those that are Christians, but in that specific time when there was two different types of slavery that existed in that time of Rome. There was a slave who had no rights, who was there as a servant, and then there was a bondservant, which is the Greek word doulos, and it's one that it's not your typical slave. He is one that is there, but he's not necessarily being forced to be there. And the thing that Paul says, he says, those that are bondservants, those that are there as slaves, count your master, those who you're under, worthy of all honor. And what does that mean when you honor someone? That means you're faithful to that person. That means you do your duty as you are told to do it. You do all the instructions that were given to you to do, and you do them faithfully, respecting, looking after the reputation of this individual. And here he's speaking to those that are in lowly places. And even though slavery, thank God, is not something that exists in the United States, which it still exists in other parts of the world, it can still be applied to those who work in a specific place. Their masters could be the boss, could be your employer. It can be the person that hired you, the person you work for. They're the ones that have given you a job so that you can provide for your family. And we are to show honor to those individuals. It doesn't matter if our boss is a wicked individual. It doesn't matter if they're an adulterer. It doesn't matter if they're homosexual. It doesn't matter if they're sexually immoral. It doesn't matter if they're atheists. It doesn't matter what they are. We are to honor them. And he says, why? Why is it that we are to honor those that are above us? He says that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. We looked at the name Timothy. The name Timothy means one who honors God. And this is the point of where Paul is speaking about, because when it all comes down to, is all about God's honor. It's not for the sake of the man, but it's for the sake of who we proclaim to be, of whose we proclaim to be, that we belong to God, that we are Christians, and that our God is real and that he's really changed us and transformed us. Therefore, we honor those that are in position above us and have authority over us. We see that there's a portion of scripture where Paul tells the woman, if she has an unbelieving husband, to submit to him. Submit to your husband. Just because a person is not a Christian and they have authority over us doesn't mean that we should disrespect them. Of course, if they tell us to do something that is contrary to the word of God, because we honor God first, then we will disobey. But as far as our testimony goes, we are to honor God by honoring men. Because men also are made in the image of God. We respect life because we honor God. And he says that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And unfortunately, we live in a time when the name of God and his doctrine, his instruction, is blasphemed, especially here in the United States. It's a joke to talk about God to some people. And it has a lot to do because of the testimony that many of us Christians have given to the world. The hypocrisy that they've seen in our lives has caused the world to blaspheme the name of God and his word. What is his doctrine? His word. The gospel. Another version says, this will prevent the name of God and Christian teaching from being discredited. That's what another version says, from being discredited. We live in a time where Christianity is discredited here in the United States. And what's going to change that, it's not necessarily by people seeing miracles, signs, and wonders, but do they see that we actually believe it and live it out? Because we look at some of these ministers that are in public ministry, and a lot of these individuals move in supernatural, but yet the world still sees through them because they're greedy. And the fact that they're greedy circumvents whatever proof that may come from that supernatural experience. He says, count your masters deserving of full respect. Full respect. We are to respect those that have authority over us because we honor God and we honor his word and we desire to represent him the best that we can.
Amen. Here's a beautiful illustration of a worldly man and a godly man. Like my brother Javer said, chapter 6 starts out by showing us an illustration of a master who is a worldly man. And it's showing us, or telling us, that we are to show respect to that man's authority or to that leader's authority over us. this can apply to anything or anyone that would be in a role of leadership. Now, the second part is speaking to the Christian. And that's when it says, so that God's name and our teaching may not be slandered. And I mentioned this before on different shows. And this is our testimony, because our testimony speaks a lot to worldly people. You know, one of the bad or the worst things that could happen is when our testimony is destroyed because of the way we act in our work environment or with our leaders. We have many rebellious people, unfortunately, and some of these are Christian. And what happens is that a lot of these Christians who are people who speak negative things about their leader and refuse to submit to their authority and are backstabbers and hurtful, and then yet say they're Christian, destroys all the testimony of Christ because of the way they live. You know, we got to understand that worldly people look at us as examples. They don't look at Christ because they don't know Christ, so they look at us as examples of who Christ is. And if we're crooks, we're liars, we're backstabbers, and we don't accept correction, then that's what they see in a godly man or a woman.
And verse 2 says, and those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. And I like what the NET says. It says, but those who have believing masters must not show them less respect because they are brothers. Instead, they are to serve all the more because those who benefit from their service are believers and dearly loved. Teach them and exhort them about these things. So in the first verse, Paul speaks about those who have unbelieving masters, to give them all due respect. And in the second verse, he says, to those who have masters that are Christians, to those that have authority over them that are brothers in the faith. And he says, because they're brothers, they should not show them any less respect, but all the more to serve them because they're a brother. And this is something that's very important, because sometimes, because we have a brother and sister in the faith, we feel like we can let them down easier than others. Because we say, oh, well, they understand, they're forgiving, they're a Christian. However, this is not the attitude that we see that a Christian should have towards another brother and sister. We are to show more honor and more respect to our brothers, even more so than people of the world, because they are also partakers of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. One of the things that Jesus speaks about when they came to him, telling him that his mother and sister and his family was looking for him, and he said, my family are those who do the will of God. We see that Jesus gave more honor to the family of God than even to his physical family. And in that sense, we should strive more in following through our commitments that we have with one another, even more so than other relationships that we have. He says, but rather serve them because those who are benefited, or those who are faithful and beloved, because they are faithful and beloved. They're not just doing it because if you have a boss that's a Christian, if you have someone over you that's a Christian, you're not there serving him now just because you're getting a paycheck. But you're doing it because they have been faithful to the truth and because you love them as a brother. See, the first time he says, show honor respectful to your master because of the name of God, because of your testimony. And the second one is because you love them. Because you love them, because you both love God. See, the Bible says that we as Christians, we're one body. One of the things that is so important, that is in fact a sign that a person is saved, is that they love the brethren. They love the body of Christ. In fact, John tells us in the book of 1 John, I believe, that if we despise our brother, we cannot say we love God. We're liars. Because if we don't love our brother that we can see, how can we love God that we cannot see? So there's a special correlation between the love that we have for our brother with the love that we have for God. You can't say you love God if you don't love your brother. If you tell your brother, you give him a word, you tell him that there's something, you're going to help them out in some situation, and you don't follow through. We can't, especially with the family of God, we have to honor each other and love each other because we're a family. It doesn't matter what position you have. Every single position, every single member in the body of Jesus Christ is important. It's like saying, you know, any part of your body is disposable. Like you can cut it off. Nobody would say that. Nobody would say, well, I can do without my pinky. I can do without my little toe. Every part of the body is important. There's no part of Jesus Christ that's not important. There's no member in the body of Christ that is disposable. And one of the beautiful things about the Holy Spirit is that when you come across another individual, perhaps you've never spoken to that person before, but you meet them and you realize they're a believer, and there's this special connection that you have with that person that even though you've never really known them, but yet there's something special that attracts you, that fills you with joy just to be able to fellowship with that individual. The Bible tells us that we have a fellowship in the Spirit. There's a fellowship. There's a communion that comes from having the Holy Spirit in us, that when two believers come together, something special happens. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to congregate, especially in these days. I know that we say that a lot, or I specifically mention that a lot about congregating, because it's so important. So many times in my life that I've been drained out, discouraged, and there's something so special about just coming in with brothers and sisters, praying for one another, that is so powerful and uplifting, that the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, tells us to congregate with one another. There's something special when you come together with other believers. Well, Paul is saying here, if your boss is a Christian, don't take advantage of him. If those that are authority over you, just because they're Christian, doesn't mean you can slack off. Even more, because they are a brother in the faith, she would show them greater respect.
Amen. Let's take a look at the beginning again, because here's where we're going to make a contrast. Here is a worldly master, a worldly leader, and it is understood that you're not going to get special reward from a worldly person. A worldly person is going to require you to work for whatever it is that you make. They will drive you hard to get as much as they could get from you. And from a Christian perspective, how are we supposed to be with such a person? In the second example here that my brother just mentioned. Here is a Christian leader with a Christian worker. And what it's trying to portray here is that just because we have somebody that it's a godly person, that it's our boss or our master, we shouldn't take advantage of them. You know, one of the things that I've heard before from people, and I've heard some pastors say in the church, and this is probably because you're dealing with that situation, you know, just because you're working in a church and they're paying you, and it's a Christian church, they're not paying you to preach the gospel. And one of the problems that people misunderstand is that when they pay you a salary, is to do a work, not for you to go ahead and start preaching and telling people about, you know, Jesus, what you're at work. Yet when you leave the church, you don't evangelize to anybody. They're paying you to do something, and we shouldn't take advantage because our boss is a pastor or our boss is a Christian. You know, let's slack off right now because, you know, he's a nice guy. He's not going to say anything. And if he does, you know, we could always tell the guy that, you know, what kind of a Christian he is. Because, you know, that's something that the world uses. You know, the world says, well, you know, he's a Christian. So if he rebukes us, you know, he's not really a Christian. So they start gossiping about their boss. There needs to be a medium in this. And what that means is the same way you would work for a worldly boss, you should also work just as hard or harder for someone who is of like faith. Because you're not working for a worldly man, you're working for your brother. And you wouldn't want anybody to rip off your brother, let alone you. You wouldn't want to do it. Why aren't you doing it for your pastor? Why aren't you doing it for your brother? You go out there and you work in worldly jobs and you give them everything you got. And if they tell you to clean the floor, you'll clean the floor. But yet it hurts you to spend a little extra time helping your brother. You know, I can't understand this, folks, because sometimes people work even for free in their company. They take jobs home. You know, because they just want to look good and they want to make their bosses proud. But when it comes working for their church, well, you know, it's time to go eat. You know, I got things to do. You could fool me and you could fool anybody, but you can't fool God. God sees your heart. The same passion or greater passion that you have for a worldly job, you should have for a godly job. Because our rewards are not going to be a piece of paper that will one day be destroyed or a house that will fall apart. These are eternal rewards, brothers and sisters. And this is a serious matter. Yet many people don't see it that way.
And we see that one of the last things he says in that verse, he says, these things teach and exhort. And one of the important principles that we're seeing here is a principle of authority. We live in a time where there's very little respect for authority. Children don't obey their parents. They don't obey their teachers. Individuals don't respect the laws. And God placed authority. One of the things that Jesus Christ says, he says, when he's standing before Pilate, and he tells him, the only reason you have authority is because God's given it to you. And that's me paraphrasing, of course, but I think it's best to go ahead and read the verse. And that's found in John chapter 19, starting in verse 10. He says, then Pilate said unto him, speaking to Jesus, are you not speaking to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? And the power that he's speaking about is authority. He has the authority to crucify him and the authority to release him. And look at what Jesus says in verse 11. It says, Jesus answered, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin. And that word power, when he speaks about power, is the word exousia, which means authority. And here Jesus says that he would have no authority over him unless it was given to him from above, because all authority comes from God. Now, the principle that we're seeing here in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is the principle of authority, understanding what authority is. That authority that a person has over us is because God has allowed it to be. That boss that is gets on your nerves, that curses, that is obnoxious, God has allowed it to be for that individual to be your boss. And believe it or not, these situations, God allows them to come about to build us up, to build up our character. You know, sometimes we say, you know, it's not good working for worldly people or having worldly co-workers. But how can we shine the light of Jesus Christ unless we be out in these places? How can we be the salt unless we have something to salt? And we as Christians are being put into these circumstances, not because God doesn't want to show us favor, but because he wants to build us up as Christians. You see, the only way that you're able to exercise a muscle, it's by using some form of resistance and pushing against that resistance and having that weight build that muscle. And the same is the circumstances that God puts around us. These are circumstances so that we can exercise our faith, so that we can shine the light. Because light is used in places of darkness. Nobody goes outside at 12 o'clock in the afternoon with the sun shining with a flashlight. You can't see it. You turn on a flashlight and there's so much light in the afternoon from the sun that you can't see the light in the flashlight. But you turn it on when it's pitch dark and it shines brightly. And the same applies to why God has placed us in specific places, so that we can shine the light. And that's one of the things why, you know, when we come to church, everybody's a saint. Everybody's a good Christian at church. Because we're all there worshiping God. All there is light. But when we really show what's in us is when we're out there, when we're in our jobs, where we're under people that are not godly people. But yet we have to show them respect because God has placed them as authorities in our lives. Whenever we get stopped by a police officer, which hopefully we don't, it doesn't matter how immoral that police officer is, what he does on his personal life. The point is he's wearing a badge and he has authority, and we respect him because of his authority. And the same principle God is establishing. We need to understand what authority is. And unless we understand how to be under authority, it's very unlikely that we'll receive authority from God. The Bible shows us that Christ received all the authority, all power, because he first submitted himself to the Father. And this is the greater principle that is being established here. Not just the testimony that we have before men, but that our ultimate authority is God, and that we understand that just like Christ said to Pilate, he would not have any authority over him unless it was given to him from above. If God has placed us in specific places, it's because God wants it that way, and he wants it for a specific reason. He says that this is something that Timothy was to teach and to exhort. Apparently, maybe there was a problem with authority in that time. And a lot of it comes from a division of what is secular and what is ministry. And we say, well, no, this, you know, my job is secular. It doesn't have anything to do with God. Yes, it does have to do with God. Everything a Christian does has to do with God. The Bible says whether you eat or drink, you do it for the glory of God. everything you have the opportunity to glorify God in. And he says in verse 3, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings, or useless wranglings, men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. Man, Paul makes a very tough, hard exclamation. He says, if anybody teach against the wholesome or healthy words, these are healthy words. These are things that build up. They build up people. They build up the body. They build up the reputation of God's people. They bring health. And then he says, they're not only my words, they're the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't Jesus teach the disciples to wash each other's feet? That the lowest would be the greatest? That is, that we should not strive for a higher rank, but to strive to be the servant of all? This is the true doctrine of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Brother Javer just spoke about authority. And then he spoke about, these are the things you are to teach and urge on them. One of the things that we need to do when we're dealing with Bible verses, especially one like this, why would he put so much emphasis on telling Timothy that he should put so much emphasis on this, about authority, about the leader, about respecting the leader? This had to be something that just didn't happen now, but it was something that caused, like my brother Javer just mentioned, something earlier. So one of the things that we could see in the Bible that happened in the beginning was that Satan rebelled against God's authority. That was the first sin that was committed. Rebellion against God. Rebellion against his authority. Rebellion against his rulership. Rebellion against his government. And this is not something strange, brothers and sisters. When we look in the Garden of Eden, that the first person that the devil attacked was Eve. Why? Because the serpent, Satan, knew that Eve was in the head. The head was Adam. And this is something that has continued to happen since the beginning. It is something that we have today, and it continues to deteriorate as we continue into the future. That's why students don't respect their teachers. That's why children don't respect their fathers. That's why there's rebellion against the government. That's why we don't respect our bosses. It's total destruction, brothers and sisters. This is the work of the enemy, not of God. That's why he's stressing here that we need to apply these principles into our lives, because these are godly principles.
And Paul says about those that would withstand this teaching with regards to submitting to authority, he says those that do not receive this, they don't receive this doctrine, this teaching, that's according to godliness. What is godliness? Godliness has to do with devotion towards God. He says he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, and useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds. But we see that the very first obstacle towards someone submitting to authority is pride. Oh, well, you know, that person can't tell me what to do. Who do they think they are? Pride. In fact, Brother Luz was speaking about the first rebellion, which was Satan's rebellion, and it was all because of pride. And then he says, knowing nothing. It doesn't matter how much knowledge a person may have. If it is not the knowledge of God, if it doesn't come from the knowledge of God, it's useless. It's worthless. Because it is not the reality that God puts forth for the Christian. You may know everything in the Bible. You may know all different teachings, but if you do not understand authority, if you are against submission, the Bible says you know nothing. Why? Because you haven't known God. We look at the Bible, and even in the Trinity, we see authority. Jesus tells us that the Father has authority, and that he sent the Son. And then he tells us that he was sent the Comforter. There's even an authority that is involved in the Godhead through the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't come on his own. He didn't say, well, I'm here. I just felt like coming. And, you know, I told the Father, hey, you know, they need to be saved. No, the Father told the Son. And then the Son says, I will send you another Comforter. And then the Bible shows us that when the Holy Spirit will come, the Bible says he would not speak of himself, but he was received from Jesus, and that which he receives from Jesus, he'll show to us. There's a chain of authority, even in the Trinity. And then he says, but is obsessed with disputes. So a person that is obsessed with disputes and always has to argue over words, he says, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, and useless wranglings. Man, this issue is a very serious issue. And that's why Paul, this is one of the very last things that he mentions in this letter. Whenever you have an important point, you want to make sure that's remembered. It's usually put towards the last part of a letter. Or, you know, you want to make sure that person takes note of that. And here, Paul puts this towards the very end, but we see that those that are not submitting to authority have a very serious issue. It's much more deeper than pride. Paul says these are wranglings or perverse disputings of depraved mind, of a corrupt mind. And says, minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is the means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. What do these people that have corrupt minds believe? He says that they feel like something, they're going to gain something out of showing that they're spiritual. Or another version says they suppose that godliness is a way of making profit. They use Christianity not as a form of service to God, but as a way to bring honor to themselves. Because it doesn't necessarily here mean monetary gain. It can mean respect. It can mean honor for yourself. It can mean glory for yourself. In a way of making a name for yourself. It's not about God. It's about people make it about themselves. And that's the point. That's where he starts in the beginning. He says to show, to honor the name of God. And so that the Christian teaching won't be blasphemed. It all comes down to honoring God. But these men who do not submit to authority, it's all about themselves. It's all about what they can get for themselves. In fact, that's what's the point of Satan's rebellion. He said, I will make myself like the Most High. He wanted to receive praise and worship. It wasn't about money. It was about being worshipped. That's what he wanted. And there's some Christians like that. Instead of doing things because we love God, we do them to get a name for ourselves. And that is wicked. And we need to repent from that. Because God hates it. And Paul calls those men to do these things, men of corrupt minds.
Amen. If we're not able to respect authority, we are never going to be able to submit to it. Father God, we want to thank you for this wonderful teaching, Lord. Father, teach us how to be good servants, Lord, able to submit to our authority, Lord, even though that sometimes we may feel that perhaps they're wrong. Maybe at times we may know a better way. But Father God, show us how to be submissive so that we could show them you through us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Perhaps you're listening tonight and this is the first time you listen to our program, or you just tuned into the radio and you happen to come on the station. And I want you to know that it's not by coincidence that you've tuned in to this frequency or you've come across our podcast. But the Bible says that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sins of the world in the cross of Calvary, where he was crucified. He died an excruciating death. He was tortured for the sins of the world, and he was buried, and the Bible says that he resurrected on the third day, and all those that believe in him shall be saved. If you have not trusted in Christ for your salvation, you can call upon his name tonight. You can say, Father, I come before you tonight, and I confess that I am a sinner, and I ask you to forgive me. Because I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I believe that Jesus resurrected from the dead. And I ask you to forgive me now. I repent of my sins. I ask you to give me a new life, to put your Holy Spirit inside of me, to be my Lord, to be my God, to be my Father. In Jesus' name. We thank you for listening tonight. We invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also contact us by email at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or by phone at 305-320-7727. We thank you for listening tonight, and we pray that the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Perfect and pure, you are. Everything right, you are. Yes, you are. Broken am I, full of discord am I, hungry for change am I. The love you've shown.
and truth you are. Everything right you are. Yes, you are. Humble am I, contrite spirit am I, open to you am I, oh am I. Though to be like you, though to reflect the God I know, yes, the love. Love you've shown this.